Hey, C-Lab fans, listen up, because I've got some great news for you. All over, executives are scrambling to find effective ways to retain customers and increase product engagement. What's the solution? Training customers right from the start. But without the proper tools, that's easier said than done. So let me tell you about Gainsight CE, the game changer in digital customer education. Gainsight CE blends the dynamic nature of digital learning with the importance of meeting those intrinsic human needs that accelerate user adoption, deepen product understanding, and drive customer success, all without sacrificing that personalized attention your customers long for. Say goodbye to time-consuming and hard-to-track one-on-one trainings, endless emailings of PDFs, and help center links. And the best part, your learning program can be embedded seamlessly in your platform. Don't take my word for it. Industry leaders like Walmart, Pipedrive, Glassdoor, and Freshworks choose Gainsight CE for their customer training program. So get started today. Visit gainsight.com/customer-education and tell them Adam and Dave sent you. Hello, everybody, and welcome again to C-Lab, the customer education laboratory, where we do science. No, we explore how to build programs, customer education programs, customer success programs. We're here to experiment with new approaches and exterminate those myths and all that bad advice that you might get from people sometimes who might not know what they're talking about, or they might, and it doesn't work for you. But we're trying to dispel that and stop that, stop the things that stop growth dead in its track. I am Dave Darrington, and our special guest today is Lila Meyer. Say hello, Lila.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, it's great to have you here because this is kind of a special episode where we get to share the stage again, just like we did at Pulse. We'll talk about that in a minute. As always, we do a little fun here where we do the days of the year. This is the International Day of part. And for today, it's National Take Your Dog to Work Day. Oh my, when work from home, it doesn't count. Doesn't Gainsight do a lot of that still? Are they still taking the dog to work?
Well, I think only in the sense that people are working from home and lots of us have dogs, but yeah, like all the U.S. offices are basically gone. So,
yeah, that's a big change too. We used to have several offices when I worked there.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, the pandemic changed people's habits and preferences, and it was tough to get people to come back regularly into the office, right?
Yeah. Well, so we won't see all our dogs together. I'll have to see them online.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I was looking through all these National Day Ofs today, Wagyu Day, National Smoothie Day, but World Humanist Day, that kind of taps my attention or catches my attention because we talk about Gainsight as a human first company, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. I have to admit, I peeked ahead yesterday when I saw the note about, you know, day of, and I was like, well, what is tomorrow? So many options.
Yeah, so many options. National daylight. I couldn't believe how late the sun was up last night here in Seattle. It was like 11 o'clock. Go down. Just go down.
Right. Let me get some sleep.
That's the Pacific Northwest for you. Okay. Let's roll into this. We are warmed up. And Lila, how I want to frame this up with the audience today is a little bit different than we kind of normally do. Like I said, we know each other, we've worked together, and we have a history that goes back a long time. I'll let you introduce yourself and talk about that part of the history as well. I think I joined around 2015. What's really interesting is that during the time we've been there, I want to roll back and play kind of the history playbook about Gainsight because I was part of that story for a while. And now I'm outside of that, right? And it was really interesting to me at the time I was there because we were together. And I think this was really neat because it brings the narrative of what customer education is about alongside what customer success, that life cycle of this whole, what do we call it? An industry, a category, right?
Fair.
But it has a cohort journey. We doing education, found ourselves at Gainsight Times we looked at each other like, what are we doing here? Right? How are we going to do this? How are we going to train people? And now we're years ahead where I like to enter this, that, and we talk about what Gainsight has done recently, acquiring NorthPass, rolling that in as Gainsight CE. Where I'd like to start that discussion is now we have kind of a full stack to look at. This is unique, where a lot of packages and learning systems are always kind of one step removed. And it makes our job hard.
Yeah.
In that now we have this disconnected, disjointed thing over here, and we're living in a different land. But now today, this is where we're getting into topics about ROI and, you know, what the next steps are and what the future. How does Gainsight even eat its own dog food or drink its own champagne? How are you really incorporating education into the platform technology itself? So with that, why don't you take the stage and talk a little bit, go a little bit deeper about your journey, because you've been at Gainsight for a long time. You've watched this whole thing grow up.
Yeah, absolutely. Currently, I'm leading education services at Gainsight, and it's been almost 4 years for me in this particular role. But I've been with Gainsight now for, it's crazy to say it, almost 9.5 years total. And like you said, it's been a journey and a wonderful one for me professionally, as well as I've, made lots of amazing connections with people who are so bright and sharp like yourself. And I was the first education hire at Gainsight. And I know we're going to talk about this some more later, but it's interesting what a company thinks they need perhaps versus, what they like are looking for in terms of hires and how they hire, that whole process. So we can unpack that a bit later.
Definitely.
Because I was the first hire, there wasn't necessarily great clarity or vision around like what my focus should be. And I hopped around a little bit, even in terms of like who I reported to in that first 6 to 12 months or so, and what projects I took on or helped support initially. We did end up, focusing for a while on the Gainsight administrator, which I think was the right thing to do because that role is so important. Realized that we needed like more technical folks too to help create more of the hands-on instruction to support those admins. Within the first year or so, did some different things, worked with some different managers. And then I had an opportunity presented to me from the product team, actually, to help launch and grow the technical communications team. And so I ended up going, kind of zagging a bit for a while there. And building a team that was largely based in India. And we were responsible for all of our support articles and release notes and customer communications that would go out around the release time. And we would do webinars as well to introduce customers to the latest features and all of that good stuff. And that occupied me for, about 5 years. And I even got to take over community management too for a few years. So that was a really interesting adventure.
Yeah.
Trying to grow, the online community. And we expanded to a second product during that time and supporting a second sort of persona and user group via the community. Mm-hmm. So all really like relevant, kind of education adjacent responsibilities,
that have
given me opportunities to also appreciate like the overlap sometimes between those different roles and teams and the opportunities to collaborate and leverage each other's expertise, use those different forums like to communicate, with customers and help them connect with one another. So all really great experiences. But I was super excited, like I said, almost 4 years ago now, when we had more of a, you know, a robust team of instructional designers and mm-hmm. trainers. And there was an opportunity to come back and lead the team. So that's I've been cool. doing that. You know, really fun, really challenging work. And we are responsible for our product training, product certifications, but we also manage a industry training and certification subscription mm-hmm. program as well. So lots of variety. We've grown the admin certification and product certifications in the last several years, and expanded some of the custom instructor-led offerings too. And you know, we in that time, we've also had two more products or acquisitions. So you mentioned North Pass, which is nearly a year ago now, yeah. our customer education product, and then a few years back, we also acquired Incited, a community platform that coincidentally I had selected for our own community platform. Lots of, you know, opportunity to really grow and scale mm-hmm. our education offerings and learn how to manage and maintain training for a multi-product company. We also have dabbled in a bit of localization too. So we expanded, some of our training is available in Japanese and documentation too.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So,
that's a lot. I was going to also mention that, in the way, way back time frame, I was a high school English teacher. And that's really how I got started, sort of down this path of, you know, working in education. And I know that's something that we also have kind of in common. I think
yeah.
you have taught at the graduate level too. And yeah. I see a lot of folks these days, you know, looking to transition out of maybe the K-12 space, and they're curious about instructional design or, you know, e-learning, learning experience roles and stuff, which, you know, I think is great. Like, there's a lot of transferable skills.
Oh my God, yes. And, you know, when I think about some of the top skills that come out of that kind of experience set, you know, I think about, Lila, your demeanor and how it's very hard to fluster you. And it's one of the best things. You can manage a room, you can manage your leadership.
Oh, thank you. I don't know if I would have said that myself, but I appreciate it.
Well, it comes to something. All of what you've just said here is really good. And if I can break the, you know, fourth wall with the audience and speak to this, frankly, some of us have been, we're always talking about our community of practice. There's a lot of channels and places where we live, but we're all trying to find the others. And that was,
yeah.
You know, I don't want to take away from what you've just talked about, but the thing that I discovered in my stay at Gainsight was how we all, I was interested in exploring how we all fit and what we're doing and how we blend ourselves into this fabric of customer success. So the things that you talked about, you're one of the people in our industry now that we're looking to talk with more. And I hope, you know, hey, if everybody wants to talk to Lila when you have the ability and can reach out on LinkedIn or whatever, this remit where you have community, right? You've been part, you know, you've been product education, documentation, customer success. Now you're expanding out a globalized program, and you've had the ability to see all the things and how they fit together, which is what you said. And I think for us, what this represents is a journey to where you can be, and you're the people we want to get out there to share the stories. It's not always great. You're not always where you want to be. Things are not easy. And you make these shifts if you're within a company to build a role like you're in. You have to have patience too.
Yeah. It's a good point. You know, patience in my case, like, paid off.
But, immensely.
But yeah, sometimes, you know, to have the right opportunities, you do have to, you know, go outside, go look for them, of course.
Right.
And, you know, to your point about finding the others, like that's one of the things I really admire about the work that you do and Adam, you know, with the podcast and with the online community that's newer. It's so, so helpful, you know, so just enriching for folks to connect with others who are doing this work and to share, you know, experiences and mistakes, you know, to hopefully you can avoid, et cetera. And not feel siloed, which is one of the, you know, sort of potential pitfalls when you are part of maybe a smaller team in a larger organization and no one else is quite like you or no one else is, you know, doing quite the same type of work. Mm-hmm. And so those connections, you know, outside are really helpful to bring perspective and balance and, you know, kind of confirm that you're on the right track or, you know, introduce you to new ways and ideas.
That's well put, because that's what our mission is, that we all find the others and we start working together collaboratively to share what we know, because we don't want to repeat the mistakes. I don't want people to repeat the mistakes I've made. I've made many of them transparently. There's all kinds of things like, no, I wouldn't do that. That was a bad idea. Why did I agree to this? You know, but this is kind of the legacy of customer education. We found that historically customer education has been around for over 40 years, almost 50 in some cases. And how it started, how it emerged out of a marketing function was this natural organic understanding that, oh my gosh, we developed these programs and people were flocking to the programs to learn about the job, the space, other people, connect, not just learn what the product does. It's not about that. The education sells the product, or it's all about adoption. It's how we can fall in love with the product by understanding it. Right. Let me do a seg here now. I think you've really set us up well, Lila, let's go back a little bit. And for those of you who are listening in, we did a presentation together and a workshop together at Pulse 2024 in May. And it was great. I was really appreciative to be, it was funny because for me, I could come back and be part of the team with you and others and see where we are today. And I went off on a journey to go through several different companies to see how things are done and how that all interrelates. And I'm back, right? What the bold statement that I want to come out with today, and I'm caveating this by saying that I don't fully believe it is true yet because we've got a lot of work to do. What I'd like to say here is that because directionally we're moving in a way where our technology is catching up to us a little bit with our brains. What do I mean by that? Okay, we talk correlation versus causation, or causation for correlation. It keeps coming up all over the place. It's a weasel word way to say, we can't directly attribute all of the points in time and the events and the things that we do or a learner does and aggregate them and then with a higher level vision of real time, what are you doing? Are you learning? Are you using the platform more? Are you using it less? Why I'm bringing it up like this, Lila, is because I want to go back. And again, I'm not, this is, you know, we're talking about Gainsight, but we're talking about more than that. And this is what I want others, you know, that are in this space and using different systems to think about, is that our holy grail for education is, let's go back to high school teaching, okay? You know, I've taught at college level and subbed and all that. That's freaking hard.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the outcome is we're nurturing students to turn on their minds and to think about the world, but we have to take them through all these things traditionally, right? I call that old school educating. It works. It works in that context. We're together. We're doing stuff. You're the teacher. They're going through exercise. They do their homework. Maybe I get my kids to do it. It'd be wonderful. But the metrics and the things that we measure for learning as teachers is fundamentally different from this world you and I have been injected into.
Right.
Which is now like, wait, what do we? Our ROI when Nick comes to you and says, hey, what's the ROI of this program you just developed? If it were 10 years ago, you go, yeah, a lot of people came to it, sat through the session, right?
Right, right. We got good scores, you know, on the surveys at the end.
Yeah, it's the smile sheets or...
Yeah.
And we've talked about that. So when I've done training, I'll go out in the field, you'll run the class and see smiles, get a good report, you go home, you're done. And what, now I'm going to go back in time a little bit more and talk about how I feel like we're now closer to causation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't really show anything here. I've got some decks and we might put links into the show notes to show this kind of thing. But what, now I'm going back in time, 2017, 2018. And Lila, you and I were working pretty closely at the time, trying to like build all this stuff. I'd been working on admin training, and now we were prototyping using the rules engine, using the guts of Gainsight. Okay, I got the LMS. We could actually hook it in, and we did that. And then we had our CRM data, which was naturally integrated into Gainsight because that's what it, how it works. But
right.
Then we had this telemetry.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the Holy Grail. This is the Trinity that
yeah.
founds it. It makes it possible for us to do our jobs in a way that you can go to Nick and say, here's the dashboard. Look at that. And he goes, oh. I remember showing him something from some studies we did and his eyes got big and he was, I don't know if you weren't at that one, but he said two things to me that made me laugh. Like, who is this guy? And like, one, he talks faster than me. That's cool. And I go, yeah, it's a lot. And then number two, why haven't we been thinking about this before? This is new. This is interesting. And this is the human side of what we're doing, showing up as learning in customer success. And that kind of blew my mind at the time, because when we were able to say, okay, let's just think about virtual instructor-led training.
Sure.
Smile sheets. Okay, that's what we do, right? We go train and we're done. Nobody asks us after that, well, what impact did it make? Because can't, but we can now, because you could say, look, for all of the people that are taking instructor-led classes,
right,
when they did it, I've got that data point. I might have data out of Zoom or whatever comms data. Get sentiment analysis. I could see how long they were in the sessions. I could see how they engaged. But it's not that. If you think about now, talk about Gainsight PX, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You said, telemetry data. And if that's not a familiar term, it, basically just refers to your customer usage data, how they're using your product, who is using it, which features or pages are they using or not using? What are the pathways that they commonly take, as they're working in your product?
Right.
Where do they drop off and so on? And the combination of that usage data or, telemetry data, along with, like you said, the training data, whether it's they've completed courses or earned a certificate or, completed some kind of learning path or something like that, allows us to actually see, okay, what did these learners, what were they doing in the product perhaps before they took the training versus post-training, kind of at that individual level. And then we can also look at the broader user base and compare these cohorts of learners who've taken training or earned a certification or something like that, and see the difference between, those that have done the training or gotten certified in terms of their product adoption and retention in your product compared to those that didn't. And I don't know if you wanted me to jump into this, but
you're doing this such a great organic job. This is exactly what we wanted to drive to. So continue.
Cool. Yeah. So I am really excited about this because it's fairly new, admittedly, for me and the team, but we've been pulling, the data out of the LMS around who completed certain courses or learning paths or certifications. And then creating segments or another way of thinking of that is like a cohort of users, loading those into our Gainsight PX application. That's where the adoption, product adoption, usage, telemetry data is stored and accessible for us. And then creating some very simple reports that are actually available out of the box around usage and retention. And so we've seen, for example, with a couple of specific courses that we looked at, these are just e-learning courses, but for users who took, e-learning on a particular topic, when we look at their feature usage for that area of the product, before and after, it's, goes up 3 to 4x compared to, before they took the training. So that is very reassuring, right? That we're on the right track. We're driving usage. And then some, similar things around user retention. How often do they come back to the product? Are they regular users or, daily active users, that type of thing? A couple examples there, we have looked at our business users who have a learning path and certificate, and also our Gainsight administrators. There's a learning path and an initial level of certification they can earn. And with both of those groups, the numbers were really similar. About 18 to 30% of those certified users 18 to 30% more often those users are coming back and using the product compared to all users.
That's
so
good. The product, the tool that we're Gainsight.
Exactly. In this case, the customer success application, primarily. But, very, again, reaffirming that we're on the right track, that we are driving adoption and, product retention. And ultimately, the goal, it would also be hopefully to see that this impacts overall customer health and retention and expansion. MPS, which we do have some data already around MPS, particularly for those certified Gainsight admins. It's off the charts compared to folks who don't get their admin certification. So, super helpful for us to be able to tell this story back to our leadership about the impact that education is having on the business, on our customers. I even had, literally, this was just yesterday, another colleague internally saying, well, this client I'm working with is interested in buying custom training from us, but do you have data about the impact that has had for other clients? Which, very timely, so we're in the midst of pulling those reports together. But the short story is yes, if they do custom end user training with us around their go live, their usage, their retention in the product, our product, is much, much higher compared to customers who don't, receive or purchase that level of service. Yeah. So it's super helpful to drive, to also drive sales of our education services as well, and arm the salespeople and CSMs and so on with that kind of data and story to share.
It's impressive, and what I wanted to circle back on is that this is kind of unprecedented. Because let's go back and let's talk about companies that have had pretty successful educational programs. Maybe like a HubSpot or something where you see an academy and a program take off, right? It's impelled by interest and demand by people. Hey, this is helping me learn about the role, the job. Oh, now I'm learning about the product and I'm using it as I need it as I'm going through a journey, collecting badges or what have you. What's the fundamental difference is that this kind of thinking and the data that's around it has not been easy for the mass market of educators to even conceptualize, right? What do we have? A grade book, who went to the class. But now we're away from vanity metrics. This is something that you and I've talked about, and I'm talking about regularly. An educator in SaaS, we'll have another episode. Recently, I was talking with Jeffrey Moore, who wrote Crossing the Chasm. And I prompted him, I really wanted him to elaborate on his book from an educational point of view. Because little did I know, he was a working professor, and he has an absolute passion for education. He says, oh yeah, that's behind all of this. And that's the story, Lila, that I don't think we've had emerge as being, and it's starting to. Like Nick recognized that.
Right.
Steve recognized that. It's education is fundamentally important in your company, but because you couldn't measure it, guess who loses a seat at the table? Guess who loses a job when the recession hits?
Right.
It's always been some of us because, like, well, I guess we don't need you. You can't prove anything. But the seawater change here is that, look, Gainsight has shown the way to connect the golden triangle of education, which is who's there, who's in your base, in your book, what do they need? What are the roles? Well, that's your CRM. Who are you? Who's your account? And then your LMS, which is all that vanity. I call it vanity. I'm saying that with intent to be bold. It's not vanity. Those are important stats, but they're isolate, right?
Right.
I can work in an isolation, in a stack, in a silo, and I can do my little thing, which is training. And everybody knows, like most leaders have done this over the last decade. Yeah, we know education is important. Yeah, we'll throw money at it. But I'd be hard-pressed to say it's been easy for me or any of our peers to go, I need a new person. Well, this was your budget. Okay. And that conversation about budget has not been transparent to me. So now what, in very short order here, that you have shown us is that you're working within a company that's drinking the champagne that they bottled, which is CRM data, learning data, now connected with performance or actual usage data. And that's the space that, like, thanks for elaborating what telemetry is. You're going to hear me say that a lot because it's my favorite word. Vis-a-vis Bill Cachard. Thanks, Bill, if you're listening out there. But putting those together is darned hard. And if you want to elaborate on that, because I'd like to know where you're at now, because now you've actually got the pieces and you're growing these stock templates in place to say, okay, customer, you're using all this stuff. How does that really opening up the space for our peers to work with the platform?
Yeah. You know, when you were saying vanity metrics, which is a common turn of phrase around the stats that you can get from an LMS, the thought that came to mind was what's lacking is the so what, right? Like, it is great to know how many users or learners, you know, have taken a course or completed it, or how many new learners you had register on your academy that month or whatever, but it doesn't tell you or give you an answer to so what.
That's what we're
trying to do, right? Like, okay, so they came and they took training, or they register for courses, et cetera. So what? Then what? What did they do in your product, or what were they able to accomplish with those new skills and knowledge? How did that impact your relationship with the customer or the longevity of the, customer relationship, et cetera? So that was just one thing that came to mind. But like I said, super excited to have this data and then to be able to start to evangelize a bit more, right? Mm-hmm. Like internally and externally, because I want to share with others outside, like how to get this data, where to start, because it can be intimidating, like just to find your starting point.
Absolutely.
And, understand what tools you might leverage, or, whose help do you need? Because internally in the past, there were times when it felt like I had to kind of, beg or borrow, like, hey, you know, can you help us do this analysis? I know it's not really like your charter, but we could really use the help. But, you know, this having these tools now, the tool set and data, like, makes us more independent, you know, and less reliant on others to do that analysis, which is really helpful. So excited to be able to share that both internally and externally. And I think you were also just, you know, sort of getting at like, what else do we get to sort of do maybe as a result of the fact that we have like this data and these systems, you know, talking to each other. Not sure if we wanted to jump into that like right now around, you know, how we use some of the training data and analytics.
I would like to. I think we don't have time for talking about everything today, but let's go ahead and seg into that and tell me more about it. Because for me, I want to use this as an opportunity to talk to the audience about where we're going. That there, this explosion of tools and the work we have to do next, which is integrate all of those tools together to achieve the outcomes, that's the hard work. And until we start to visualize examples of, okay, what are the common dashboards and reports that would be generated by our system now? And how do we operationalize that so that we're looking at them, we're using them properly, we're doing a feedback loop, as opposed to before where we're guessing, right? We don't really know what we're doing. Talk about that a little bit. And then I'd like to lead out on our episode today and talk about the other arc that's paralleled both of our journeys, particularly yours through Gainsight, which we referenced before, is this development of a team and nurturing of a team. Kind of in a different context, like over time, you're changing quite a lot. Anyway, okay, let's go back and talk about the...
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Gong or introduce it?
I like that concept. Is when I was there, we talk about Gong, not a physical Gong, not the platform. It's Gainsight on Gainsight. So it was the Gainsight instance. I loved this. I love this so much that it was our Gainsight instance that we got to use every day. I got to use it. You got to use it. It was really open for all of us to explore. And that's where I initially was starting to take a stab at some of those first reports years ago.
Right.
Now we're in a different place where, did I know what I was doing? I used to be a DBA and I was technical enough, but I wasn't getting a lot of help. And intentionally so, that was a really good thing because the team at Gainsight was there to support, but let me struggle. And in that struggle, I learned things. That's the way to do it. We don't want other people to have to struggle is the point, because now we're at this precipice of saying, okay, I got this data. I got the performance data, or I got the usage data. Now what? So let's talk about the now what. What are those kinds of examples and things like that will help us into this next decade?
Sure. And we do still refer to it as Gong internally. And I don't know if this is unique, but it feels a little unique to me that we really do have this opportunity to leverage our own tools to manage our business. I'm not sure if every, you know, like software or tech company gets to do that in a similar way, but it is humbling at times, right? Because we encounter some of the same challenges that our customers or users do. Encounter some of the same limitations. You know, we have often a lot of the same product feedback, right, for the product team. But you know, and it helps push us all, I think, to be better. Really. So ultimately, it's the customers, I think, that benefit from the fact that we are leveraging our own tools for customer success. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in particular, some of the things that you started like are still active in the sense that we use dashboard reports and our customer 360 reports to communicate to the rest of the organization about training consumption at a particular customer or, you know, across the customer base or individual customer certification status. Those are some, you know, common reports that are accessible in Gong for everyone. And we also use PX, not just for the telemetry data, but also we use it, for example, on Gainsight University, our LMS, to communicate with learners in app and highlight relevant resources. So that's a super helpful.
Superimposed on the Academy itself?
Yes, yes. Oh. Yeah. So if you go to education.gainsight.com, you'll see, for example, in the lower right-hand corner, there's a little Knowledge Center bot. Well, that's being served through the Gainsight PX application.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then if you encounter any kind of like pop-ups, I know that's kind of a dirty word in a way, but you know, those in-app messages or walkthroughs that are displayed like while you're there, those are also driven by the Gainsight PX application. So super helpful, you know, tool for us to have at our disposal in a variety of ways. And, you know, we talked just a little bit ago about the using PX to understand the impact on product adoption post-training or certification. And I can see that that one's going to be like really helpful for us in advancing the story of the impact on the business. We also use our own community. So again, now we own the platform and sell it as a product, but we before that, we had a Gainsight community. It's continued to grow and thrive under some great leadership. And it's another communication tool, right, for us to connect with our customers, to get their questions and feedback, and also to encourage social learning, right? So sharing and asking questions outside of the training setting there in community. Other things we do that like leverage our own tools within the CS application, there's a tool called Journey Orchestrator. And if you're not familiar with the product, you know, suffice to say, like it's a way of setting up a communication journey or program for your customers. So it can have a series of emails or actions and, you know, send surveys potentially and have some branching, you know, take place as well. So we use JO or Journey Orchestrator to introduce new customers when they sign up with us to Gainsight University and our resources that we want them to get started with as a new user. We use it to send monthly newsletters, you know, particularly like say to Gainsight administrators to tell them about what's new in terms of training and events and resources. We communicate with users directly using Journey Orchestrator, whether they're to tell them if their certificates are expiring, and we want to encourage them to go through some continuing education and renew those. We use it even for offering swag, like as a congratulations, you know, having earned a certificate. So those are just some of the ways in which we're using, you know, existing tools to, like you said, to drink our own champagne.
Right.
And then we're also in the process of migrating our university to the customer education platform, which is a, you know, a big, exciting initiative for my team, of course. Some of the things that we're looking forward to there are the ability to like more easily and accurately integrate the training data into the CS application, because there'll be a native integration option. SSO even, you know, to simplify things for learners and users in terms of accessibility of the products. Something that our customer education platform can do that I'm like really curious to explore is you can actually embed your academy right into your own product.
That would be interesting to see.
Learner doesn't have to go outside, you know, to find your training resources or leave your product, right?
Yeah.
So that's super intriguing and has exciting potential. And, you know, a lot of our customers do this in various ways today, but you can pull in your training data and, you know, as a sign of customer health for your scorecards, your customer health scorecards. You can also trigger calls to action for your CSMs, you know, based on things that you're seeing in the training data, maybe, you know, positive or negative trends that you want to alert the CSM to for that account. And again, with the tighter integration of the customer education platform and the customer success platform, we'll also be able to actually enroll learners directly into courses and then like notify them, you know, via those journey orchestrator programs of like what's next in their learning journey.
Wow.
So those are just a few of the things that I'm particularly jazzed about, you know, being able to pursue and leverage internally and, you know, also make for a much better, smoother, you know, learning experience, right, for the customers ultimately, because that's what it's all about.
Well, I think it's even beyond just the customers. When you talk about this, and again, pivoting to a little bit about team development, I don't want to take away from this discussion, but the excitement that you have in your team when you have these tools that are integrated and you're no longer, you know, I've always felt like an orphan, or I felt like this person that's on the periphery, like, oh, that's the education guy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's such a disparaging situation because I think differently about education is that, look, Gainsight, being there and after being on a management consulting job and then having been a DBA before that, we have this journey in our lives where we get to certain things. The journey that you and I have been on is about, well, how can we redo, how can we change the future of education for software in a way that integrates all of these things to help others? And we're talking about others. The CSM. Okay, right. They're busy, but now what we were able to do is I remember building this dashboard that showed roll up all of the training that anybody had ever done. And you just go into the 360 and go type in, and oh, wow, I see that nobody in from my account has done any training. And I was getting these really interesting calls from the CSMs then, like, hey, can we talk about this? Because I don't know anything about education, but I'm seeing that all the scorecard has we put a scorecard in and tested it. And nobody from the account has done any training. I know we have this admin program. And nobody's going there. And I go, okay, well, now let's talk about the playbook. Now this rolls in everything we're doing into part of customer success again. It's what's the difference between a CSM going and getting on a call and talking to somebody about something versus you and I building an on-demand module or having virtual instructor in the class? We're all in customer success.
Right, right.
That's there's a screw that comes loose. I don't know. The tone and timbre of everything we do has changed when you start thinking about things in terms of like the journey orchestrator thing that you've talked about and the calls to action. Okay. Call to action example is really great. I have had nobody in the account that did any kind of training and now they're a month in after onboarding. Red card, scorecard goes red. The CSM gets on the phone with the client and say, hey, you know, have you gotten these emails and what's going on? Now that's kind of like prefacing a change management engagement. And it gives us the call out. Or, hey, a customer is in crisis. We have a new admin that started. Well, because of the way we have everything set up, something comes in through Salesforce, got an admin role, never seen that before, goes into the system, flags them, says, oh, admin, do they have training? No. Send them on a journey, you know, send them the series of communications over a period of several weeks, which mitigates anybody reaching, and nobody on our team could have to reach out to them.
Right.
The system, from a systemic point of view, from kind of a human point of view, we're catching these opportunities and going, we're going to mitigate this and really help you out. And even for us, we could have a whole scorecard internally as educators to say, okay, now, you know what? We've got all these training requests, or we've got people that are really suffering. Jane, go out and look at these 10 accounts that are in red. Maybe we need to do a separate engagement or go back and change some of our content. So the possibilities, the art of the possible with education is now transformed, which is why I go back to saying causation versus correlation. We're getting better. We're getting better data. It's integrated with other things. This is really a call to action for the community to think about how, if I try to do all this on my own, it's so fundamentally overwhelming that,
yeah.
I mean, I've tried elsewhere and I've gotten there, but I have to do a lot of extra work, right?
Right.
And it's hard for people.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, to that point and the art of the possible, I was going to add that, you know, what feels particularly powerful is the ability to automate a lot of these things,
yeah.
Right? So I can see the data, like find the data and information that I need and build, you know, an automated journey or experience for my customers so that there aren't so many manual, you know, steps or processes required, or that just don't happen because I don't have the resources to do them manually. So that's also, you know, one of the things that I think is really exciting about have, like you said, the sort of triangulation of, you know, the CRM, the training and the telemetry data is we really can do more to help scale that customer experience.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens in the future. And I think this is going to be an impeller for the entire industry of customer education to think a lot more like, yeah, I need stats, but I need them integrated with everything else. How do we do that? Right?
Right.
How do we make that easier for us? And then how do you build conveyances and mitigations and strategies that can be in front, like automate the work we do? Because I don't have time for that. I need to be able to build content. I need to tune content. I need to be listening and talking to my customers. The education freak, it's really important. And then, okay, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I promise we would talk a little bit about team stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe we can pair this apart by saying, let's focus the end of our discussion here about, you talked about your team being excited. And now from like a tooling and technology point of view, how does that wrap into the development and growth of your own team? Are you seeing that's that art of the possible is opening their eyes, and now they see, wow, I've got a lot more opportunities in my career because we can answer these questions and go further. How does that feel?
I think that folks are, you know, definitely starting to see that, and that it is really empowering for them to also not just be limited to, like we said, some of those vanity metrics of, well, this is how many people I trained, or
yeah.
How many people I reached, you know, through my training, or what score they gave me at the end of the training or whatever. I think that they are excited and inspired, you know, to see the results. And then it also gives you like a benchmark, right? So, okay, this is what the usage or retention or, you know, whatever is today. But what if we, you know, make these changes, A, B, and C to these resources or this class or whatever? What impact does that have, right? Or compared to the previous, you know, sort of version of things, right? Like so many interesting things become possible, or, you know, you can even potentially look at, you know, different trainers might be more successful, right? In reaching learners and having the desired outcomes, or, you know, helping learners achieve their outcomes. So lots of information and data for us to learn from and, you know, hopefully improve the training, as well as be able to tell our story better and talk about, you know, talk about their own accomplishments in like a more concrete way as well.
I think, I think this is kind of a pinnacle of everything we've talked about. Then wrapping, like, all of this stuff is really important. And to think about the human, the customer, right? Now we can serve them better because we can make experiments and we've got data and we're seeing how it's expressing itself and we're seeing what the impact is. And what we don't talk about as much is just what you've talked about, that for us to develop and nurture our own team, I've had a lot of struggles with that. And any of my former team that have been listening to me will know that, you know, I don't have all the answers either. But what I always resist and I protect my team from is the beholding to a vanity metric or a number of pieces of content or something like that, because that's all we could hook on before to say, okay, this ID made 10 pieces of content,
right,
and they just didn't quite make the 11, so they don't get their bonus. What? No. Can we turn in, go into, hey, this instructional designer built an entire curriculum that saves our CSMs 100 hours a month on training, and that's a directly translatable into, I saved this much revenue,
right,
or generated it, and it's not just, okay, I sold a course. It's not that kind of thing. It's the true north, the thing that we really have always wanted in customer success. Where, just to close up, I'll tell a story of one of my favorite folks that I work with at Outreach. He's a senior leader there, and he said to me one time, "Dave, I believe in you. I believe in this whole thing, and just go, just do it. I trust you." But I didn't like that ever, because I said to him, look, no, this isn't that hard. I can get to this. And he goes, you're probably never going to get there. Keep trying to measure what you can measure and keep moving forward. Now we have the first real possibility to take and abstract all of these different sources. And that's going to change too with AI and everything. The ability for my team member to say, and this is what they've longed for, I put this really great course together. How's it performing? How's it proving that I did a good job on it? That's what they're longing for.
Right.
And now they're able to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super compelling. And it's not fair, right? Like, to only judge people based on the kind of quantity of their work.
That's right.
Right. So I definitely think it should be more about the quality and the impact that it's having wherever you can measure that.
Right.
And I think that these education roles that we're, sort of alluding to, like the learning experience or instructional mm-hmm. designers and trainers, like it's a little bit different. It is an interesting blend of skills, mm-hmm. right, that you're looking
Indeed.
For. And so how you evaluate them, I think, has to be a little bit different as well. And you're looking for folks ideally who are versatile, adaptable, right? Because if the products change or you acquire new products, they need to sort of be able to shift and adjust. There's lots of innovation in training. You mentioned AI. Obviously, like, that presents a big opportunity too for our teams to be creative and experimental and open to doing things in a slightly different way potentially. So it's a very interesting time, like, in the realm of customer education. Lots of opportunity for growing and learning, and I think that's one of our responsibilities as well as leaders, is to make sure that we're providing our teammates with opportunities to continuously learn and improve their craft too.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I want to do more of that as well, because that's what we're all about, right? Like, we're trying to do that for our customers, but it's just as important for our internal teammates as well to feel like they're advancing their skill sets and, growing professionally too.
Yeah. Well put. That's you're leading out with heart, and I dig it. It's and just to double down on that, this is one of the hardest jobs I've ever had, and I've worked at all ends of it. And I mean, even now I'm helping create content for folks, or I'm helping them architect stuff.
Right.
And it's amazing to see the struggles that folks have when, and you can't additionally, and struggling with systemic stuff just is overwhelming. So, okay, let's wrap up here. Lila, this was really well done. You're resonant with all the things that I was interested in, explained a lot more. And so on the way out the door here, we'll put links in here as well to reach out. And Lila, you can be reached out on LinkedIn and at Gainsight, right?
Absolutely.
I know Gainsight will be having some more workshops and things like that. So check them out. The recordings of Pulse are up and online for you to look at. And our sessions are up there. So we'll link our sessions. And, you know, I was really happy to be, and I would tell folks, hopefully with Europe and next year, I hope to see that again, because it was a really great opportunity to be aside success people in general. It has a different tone and timbre. It's like a different way of thinking. It's so neat for us as education folks to be in that ecosystem.
Yes. That's right. Exactly what I was going to sort of express is it was very exciting. Starting kind of with the Pulse in Amsterdam last November and then really more, you know, true in May in St. Louis, that it's just so awesome to have the customer education community and practitioners becoming a part of the broader Pulse community and customer success movement, and having, you know, more people who are in customer success thinking about or considering and wondering and asking the question of like, how can I leverage education or community or what have you, you know, to advance our business and, you know, scale our customer success teams, which is one of the common, you know, sort of challenges right now.
Yeah. Do more with less, right? Ugh.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Let's go out the door here. Lila, it was wonderful having you on here. I'm glad that we're still peers and partners, even though we don't work at the same company. It's been really great working with you this year too. And for all of you to want to learn more, we'll have links. Go check them out. Learn more about this, particularly take some time to think about your data and how we're working with things to get answers. And it's really important. Okay, if you want to learn more, remember, we have a podcast website at justcustomer.education, our C-Lab website. Find show notes, other material, and that's growing. We're also part of the growing customer education community, the C-Lab community, where you can connect with us. You can engage, talk, ask questions. We want you there. So reach out if you haven't heard about that, and I can connect you. Special thanks to Alan Cota for amazing theme music. He always does a great job. And make sure you subscribe to us, whether you're an Apple Podcast, Overcast, Stitcher, Spotify, or the podcatcher of your choice. And to our audience, thank you for joining us again. Get out there, educate, experiment, and find your people. Cheers, everybody.